our text tonight will be taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll read the whole verse, but there's just one expression in there that will be the subject for our thoughts tonight. 2 Corinthians 11, chapter 4, or verse 4, pardon me. If he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if he received another spirit, a different spirit, that will be our subject tonight, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well hear and bear with him. Another spirit, a different spirit, a counterfeit spirit. It was Ruskin who said that there is nothing of value in this world that you won't find somebody trying to imitate and counterfeit. And as we look around, there are many things that are counterfeit. Counterfeit money. I understand that the easiest bill to counterfeit in the United States is the $20 bill. So that when you get a $20 bill, you do well to observe it. Many counterfeits. And then there's counterfeit jewelry. And then we have counterfeit metals. Most of us will remember the story of Archimedes. Archimedes was king, and somebody gave him a crown. And he wanted to know if it was pure gold. And he called on the greatest scientist of his day, Archimedes, to prove and to show whether that crown was pure gold. Because there are counterfeits. And there are counterfeits in many areas. In art, for example. You find false pictures. People counterfeiting things. And then, what do you think? The most recent counterfeit that I have heard of is counterfeit medicine. Now, isn't that sad? Your doctor prescribes a prescription for you, a certain drug, and they counterfeit it and give you something else that isn't worth anything. Counterfeit. And there are counterfeits of the Holy Spirit. How can we tell a counterfeit spirit? Before we answer that question, we want to establish one basic principle and basic fact found in Matthew chapter 16. Counterfeit spirits. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? A most important question. And personally, there are certain pundits who appear on TV and radio, and I'd like to ask them this question. I'd like to line them up and ask each one, who's Jesus Christ? What do you think of it? They said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Messiah, God himself, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Who is Christ? He is the God-man. We look further, please. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. verses 24, 25, and 26. Or better, just 25 and 26. John 4, 25 and 26. The woman saith unto him, the Lord Jesus Christ, I know that Messiah cometh. They knew about Messiah, that he was God, that he was divine, which is called the Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. The Lord Jesus Christ was both God and man. Chapter 9, please. Chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talks to thee. It is fundamental and basic that we understand that the Lord Jesus Christ was God and man. He was not God with man, he was God and man. A very important concept. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. The Lord Jesus Christ is the God-man. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. We all know from memory John 3:16. We would do well to memorize this verse. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Without controversy, there's no argument on this point. Great is the mystery of godliness. And I'm going to read it the way it is in the Revised Version. God was manifested in the flesh. Very important. The Lord Jesus Christ was God and man at the same time. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, and received into glory. Chapter 4, verse 1. Very important. Now the Holy Spirit speaks expressly, definitely, and positively, that in the last times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Seducing spirits. False spirits. 1 John, please. Chapter 3. Pardon me, 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Do we get that? Don't believe every spirit. Why? Test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. This is how we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, the incarnation. And any time you find a man who doesn't believe that Jesus Christ was very God, he's a false spirit. That's the test of the Spirit. Now let's look at one false spirit speaking through a false prophet. 1 Kings chapter 13. Let's remember now, any spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is God and man is a false spirit. That's the principle. And then we are reminded that many seducing spirits are in the world. First Kings chapter 13. We know this well. We have read it recently. 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 7. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go with you, neither will I eat bread or drink water at thy place. For, why? So it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. That was the charge given him. Eat no bread, drink no water, don't stop. Verse 11. Now there dwelt an old prophet. Be careful of old men. Be careful of them. We tend to respect them, don't we? We tend to look up to them. I think of one in New York City. He was called the Barefoot Prophet. Winter, summer, snow, rain, hail, sleet. He never wore shoes. He was always barefoot. The Barefoot Prophet. And for a little change, a little money, he would give you a piece of paper. And what do you think was on that paper? The number for you to play and gamble on the next day. An old prophet. But let's read on. There was an old prophet in Bethel. His sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Then they told their father also that he was not to stop to eat with anybody. And their father said unto them, which way did he go? For his sons had seen what way the man went. He said to his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak, and said unto him, art thou the man of God that came from Judah? He said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go with thee, neither will I eat nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. The older prophet said, I am a prophet also. And this is where the trouble comes. God told that young prophet something, and this older fellow said, I'm a prophet also. And we have to watch out for counterfeits. Counterfeit preachers. Counterfeit prophets. We read on. I am a prophet also, as thou art. And angels spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back. Do you believe that? God doesn't contradict himself. He doesn't tell me one thing about a certain thing and then tell you something else about the certain thing. Be careful of contradictions to the word of God. And we'll look at that a little later. So he went back with him, verse 19. And did eat bread in his house and drank water. We won't read the rest of the chapter. Read it when you go home and see what happened. Disobedience leads to trouble. Obedience to the word of God and pay no attention to these fellows that tell you something that's contrary to what's in the book. In this connection, let's look at a couple of scriptures. Oh, by the way, when you get home, please read Jeremiah chapter 28. Again, we read of a prophet, Jeremiah, a man of God, and of a false prophet. And you can always tell the false prophets by the message that they bring. How do you tell a false prophet? We have already seen that he doesn't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as both man and God. And when you meet these fellows, what do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? He was a fine man. That's not enough. He was a good man, a great teacher, a fine example. None of those are good enough. He was God and man. And if they don't agree that he was God and man, they are wrong. They are false. They are counterfeits. And you know, beloved, there are many false things in the world today. In the book of Jeremiah, we read of false pens. False pens. And there are a lot of them. We read of false visions. Oh, these folks that tell you, I saw something. I've told you already about that man out in New Jersey. I was invited to the believer's home, and this man came. I have had a certain experience, and you haven't had it. And I said, Lord, give me the right word. First Peter. Peter said, we were on the Mount of Transfiguration and saw the Lord transfigured. But above and beyond that is the Word of God. You don't go by your vision. You don't go by what you see and what you think. False dreams. Oh, I don't know about down here, but in New York City you can buy dream books. Interpreting dreams, forget it. False dreams. False prophets, we just read of some. False apostles. We have some men right in this general area who call themselves apostles. There are no apostles today. They are false apostles. False teachers. Peter tells us about them. And there are any number of false teachers. Most of the pulpits in these big church buildings are occupied by false teachers. And you want to test them? Apply the test that we just saw. What do you think of Christ? That's all you need. And if they're not right about that, they're wrong. Then we have false brethren, you know. Paul tells us about that. False brethren seeping into the assembly of the Lord's people. We have to watch out for false brethren. I've told you this recently. I repeat it. Brother Carter told us this happened in the island of Jamaica. A certain man came to the meeting and shared in the general discussion. And Brother Carter said, there's something about that man that doesn't sound right. And the other said, we haven't detected the thing. And one day they got on the subject of the Holy Spirit. And this man referred to the Holy Spirit as it. Brother Carter said, repeat that. He referred to the Holy Spirit as it. He said, I knew there was something wrong with it. The Holy Spirit is God. Not a thing and not an influence. And we tell these false brethren and false teachers by how they regard the Holy Spirit. Then there are false Christs. Oh, about 4 or 5 years ago, not maybe 10 years, in New York City. So many things happened in New York City. That wicked city. There was a man there who claimed to be the Messiah. And he had come to restore order and peace on the earth. You know, he got a big following. A lot of people followed him. And what do you think happened to him? He died. A false Messiah. But how about another one? And he said, the Lord is coming at such and such a time, and sell everything you have, give away what you have, and come with me up to a mountain. And at that mountain, we're going to meet the Lord. You say to yourself, are people foolish enough to believe that sort of thing? He had a great following, and they had a great disappointment. False ways. There is a way that seems right to a man, the end thereof are the ways of death. There are a lot of false ways. I was listening last night to a group who believed everybody is right. Everybody's opinion is right. Well, how can that be? We have these men that recently going around killing people. And they think it's right. Do you think it's right? Would you want them to kill you? There must be a standard of right and wrong. And in 2 Timothy we read of juggling imposters. I call them fakers. And there are a lot of fakers in the world today. False things. I have... Oh yes, there's some more false things. Watch these so-called religions from the East. Isaiah chapter 2 tells you about these false spirits and false religions. Spiritism. Be careful. Astrology. I told you recently about one of the nurses in one of the hospitals where I work. A believer. Nice young lady. Used to talk to her all the time. And one day she came to me and asked, what is your sign? I said, what are you talking about? What star were you born under? I said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You should know better than that. You know she got angry with me? And for 4 weeks, she made sure she was not on any one of my cases. She avoided me. And I prayed for her, and one day she came to me and said, you know, you were right. Astrology. A false god. A false spirit. Witchcraft. Watch it. We had a brother in the meeting in New York, and he and his wife weren't agreeing, and he went and got some powder from somebody and dusted it around the house to affect his wife. It happens, beloved. God would not warn us about these things if they weren't happening. Fortune tellers. Now, Brother Craig tells us about, I forget his name. He's Nicholson. Thanks. Certain fortune teller said, for $5, I'll tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. James Nicholson said, I'll give you 10 if you tell me what happened yesterday. Fakers. UFOs. Drugs. And then they have what they call holistic people. These are the people that put their hands and wave their hands over the sick, and the devils and the imps come out. False spirits. You know the most recent false spirit? It's a book. Harry Potter. Have you heard of it? Yeah, well, that's another one of those false things. Stay away from them. Now, how do we defend ourselves against false spirits? 1 Peter chapter 3. How do we defend ourselves? Or should we defend ourselves? 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15. Verse 15. sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that seeks, asketh you a reason for the hope that's in you. We are to stand up for the truth and be able to defend the truth. Ephesians chapter 6. How do you defend the truth? Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read fast, starting at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Stand, having your loins girt about with truth, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. Now there is only one item there that you are supposed to use against the enemy. Everything else protects you. The helmet, the shield, and so forth. I think of a young fellow in New York, well, we were about the same age, he was around 17. And I used to admire him. I would go up and he preached the gospel. Right on the street corner, hold a Bible in one hand and an American flag in the other hand, and he preached the gospel. I said, I don't know where you get the courage. Then I went away to school for a year and came back, and there was this young fellow in the distance. I said, let me go and hear him. And this time he had a bunch of papers in his hand and a red, black, and green flag in his hand. You know when it happened? Took off his helmet. And I know the men that spoke to him and spoke a lot of nonsense to him. And now instead of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, he was preaching racial equality. Helmet of salvation. All of these things are to protect us except one. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's what we are to use against these false teachers and these false spirits. Luke chapter 4, please. The example of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The best example we could have. Luke chapter 4. Verse 1. Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Verse 3. The devil said unto him, if you be the Son of God, command that this stone be made bread. And Jesus answered, saying, it is written. That's all. No fancy argument. No philosophy. It is written. That's what we go by. That's how you fight the false spirits. Verse 6. The devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered to me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If you will worship me, all shall be thine. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, it is written. Verse 9, he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself from hence. And the Lord answered, verse 10, it is written. It is the Word of God that we are to use against these false teachers. I remember when I was in school, they had a dormitory for what they called the professional students. Medical students, lawyers, and students of religion. And one evening, a number of us met. And among them was a student of religion. And he said something, and I objected strongly. And it happened that I used the Word of God, and I was correct. And the next day, one of the fellows that was there said, you know, so-and-so didn't like the way you carried on last night. He said, his specialty is religion, and your specialty is medicine, and when he talks about religion, you shouldn't argue with him.
Isn't that so?
And I saw him the following day, and he said to me, I don't like what you did. My specialty is religion, yours is medicine. And when I speak on religion, you shouldn't contradict me. I said, I'll tell you something. Anytime you hear me say something medical and you know I'm wrong, speak up. Because every time you talk about the Bible and I know you're wrong, I'm going to speak up. The Word of God, that's our defense against these false prophets and false teachers and false actors. The Word of God. Another way to recognize a false teacher, Isaiah chapter 8. And I like this one very much. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. Do we all have it? 8 and 20? To the law and to the testimony. That's the word of God. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. They're in darkness. You know, I'm going to give you my paraphrase of this verse. Any man, anybody that tells you anything contrary to what's in the Word of God is absolutely, completely, and altogether wrong. That's what that verse means. And you have a lot of people in this world going against the Word of God. They tell you anything that's contrary to what is in this book, that person is wrong. And don't be afraid of it. I had another associate, also at college level, and I never heard one man misinterpret Scripture. It was terrible. And I remember we were standing on the street corner. I was to go that way and he was to go this way. And he was talking all this nonsense. I said, Lord, please give me something to give to this man. And the Lord gave me. I said, how would you interpret this? The Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. What does that mean? He said, is that in the Bible? I said, yes. Well, I'll have to think on it. I saw him many times since, but he never gave me an answer. The Word of God is what we use against these counterfeits. Psalm 33. Value the Bible. It's a most wonderful book. Psalm 33 and verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right. All right? The word of the Lord is right. New York Times wasn't right. Again, when we went to school, read the New York Times, all the news that's fit for print. But recently they've had some problems too. But this is right. Psalm 119. Verse 128. 119. Verse 128. Oh, I like this. The fact of the matter is, I like them all. They're all favorites of mine and have been very helpful 119 Psalm, verse 128. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. That's a powerful verse, isn't it? All God's teachings about all things are right. Do you believe that, beloved? And any man that tells you anything that's contrary to what's in this book is absolutely wrong. And that's how you handle false teachers. His word is right about all things. But if we're going to use his word and defend his word and defend ourselves, we've got to know his word. You remember when David was to encounter the giant? Saul said to him, try this armor. David said, I can't use it. I've never used that kind of armor. But I'll tell you what kind of armor I'm accustomed to. I'm a sling and a shot. That's what I'm accustomed to. And it's only as we get accustomed and familiar with the word that we're able to use it effectively in the service of the Lord. I'm finished. Hymn number 222, please. False teachers on every hand. We must equip ourselves with the word of God. It's the only defense we have against false teaching. Don't get there and argue with them about Aristotle and Plato and all these other people. That won't do. It is said, the word of God. This is a very short hymn. Shouldn't take us long. But a very beautiful hymn.
Let's sing it twice.
The as before me, I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. The B-I-B-L-E has a work for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E.
I ask again my favorite question. Beloved, are you glad you're saved?
Amen.
Oh, nothing like. Heavenly Father, we bow in thy presence once again and thank thee for salvation. We thank thee for who thou art and for the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for thy precious word and for the Holy Spirit who teaches us thy word. May we go on in the strength of thy word as we oppose the enemy from day to day. Dismiss us now, we pray thee, with thy blessing resting upon us as we give thee thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.